Often vulgar, always explicit, and sometimes funny.
Slap box. Slap box.
Welcome to Slapbox Podcast. This is episode 657. I am your host, Josh Albrecht. Recording once again inside the Slapbox penthouse, my trusty sidekick, Agent Fox Mulder, is laying on the floor right now. He's already interrupted the show a few times. I started to try to record this twice already. The second time wasn't his fault. The first time, he was hitting the keyboard and changing what was recording, what the device that was going for the audio, and it fucked it all up. And yeah, it's starting out great. It's fucking... I get so far this time. Yeah, Fox like hit was laying on the keyboard the first time. Last time is just this Rodecaster Pro 2. I got to warn you, if you're buying a soundboard for podcasting, it's got some cool features to it, you know? It's got the programmable buttons to where you can put sound files in and shit and do stuff like, I didn't have anything ready. I don't have any, and wasn't planning on doing this, but here we go.
We're not homosexual, but yeah, we are willing to learn.
You just want to add shit like that? You can hit that with the press of a button. I would hit it sooner, but I didn't have that shit potted up. Anyway, it's issues. There's something weird with the audio, and I've researched it online by, you know, doing the what I guess is considered research these days, as we disregard anything that scientists really have to say for the most part and just go, research is going on Google, which is what I've done to research this problem. But apparently many people have had issues with the audio on the Rodecaster Pro 2, and it just like, I think it's some kind of noise gate issue, because it'll like waver in and out, and I'll even with like taking the noise gate off, it's anyway, this is the first show I've been recording since St. Pat's, which of course my birthday, but also the anniversary of this podcast, because the very first one happened 13 years ago on St. Pat's. In this apartment that Shelley had above the old diner Fiona's in Edwardsville, Illinois. And we didn't post it until 4:20. I guess we waited. We recorded a few before we decided to start posting. So I have a couple in the can. I think we only had like two or three ready to roll by the time I posted the first one. And I was originally just, we've always been like a one a week thing, but, it was, you know, a lot to drive to Illinois because I don't live in Illinois, but I was driving every weekend to Illinois to do the show. And it's one thing to just drive there. It was like an hour and a half drive one way. And, but I'd have to pack up all the gear for the podcast stuff. He had a small apartment. So it wasn't like we kept the shit over there and just had it set up. I would pack up all the gear, and it was a whole routine. It was like an hour to tear down and an hour to like set up, basically. So, I mean, you're talking about like an all day event, basically, by the time I drove out there, got something to eat, set this shit up, and it was a whole thing. Now I always have it just set up here, and I go in to record, like, I'll just record whenever the fuck I want to. Different story. It's a lot of crazy things happened in that time span. 13 years, that's a long time. It's lucky number 13, right? I mean, when I think 13, I think Kurt Warner, and what a great story there was his appearance in St. Louis when he got to the St. Louis Rams. Back when they were in St. Louis, and came in as the backup quarterback for Trent Green, and then just, the greatest show on turf. Got to go to work. Classic shit. Anyway, I mean, shit, 13 years. A lot has happened in those 13 years. A lot. I mean, we the early days were again in Edwardsville, and we had so many. We used to have a lot of guests on. Now it's just me and Agent Fox Mulder. Every once in a blue moon, like maybe once a year, if that, I might have another person on. But now it's starting to be like maybe every 2 years. 2 years. I think since moving into the penthouse here, I've maybe had other people on like twice maybe. And I've been here for over 3 years. The pandemic seemed to really kill the guest thing. And since then, it's just been pretty much me solo 99.999999% of the time. But again, yeah, there was some great shit back in the day. We had Mark Pink, bitch. He was our first guest. And we had a good time. He was on several times in the early days. And, of course, Danny Burris was on several times. And Danny was fun. And of course, you know, Feener was like, not only was he a guest on the show, but he was our biggest fan. And then unfortunately he passed away. Was it 2020 or 2021? I mean, it was in the pandemic days. I remember exactly when he died. I just know that, I mean, he was hit by a car. Apparently he was really drunk, which if you listen to the show, it should have been no surprise that the man was drunk, but he was drunk. I guess it was nighttime and he walked out in the middle of the street and got hit by a car. And, which is crazy because the last I had talked to him, which he had gone a couple years without like calling into the show or, I mean, he was physically in person for the show several times. But I hadn't heard from him for, I don't know, a couple of years, I guess, at that point. And then he called, said he wanted to call into the show. And I'm like, all right, yeah, hell yeah. And at that time, it was, you know, this is pandemic day, so I'm solo bolo. It's, which is a comedy bang bang thing. I was solo, the one and only on the show for quite some time at that point. And yeah, he... called in and said he had been like clean. He had this girlfriend he really cared about and had been pretty much sober for quite some time. And then he was saying it was going to be his last show. This is it. This is the last show. And I even put that like as the title, I think, of the show. And then... a week or two went by and then he decided he wanted to be on the show again. And yeah, he was on there. So he was on one more show before he passed away. And it was like, he was so close to being right on the money about his last show. But, I don't know that he was 100% sober. I mean, obviously he wasn't sober when he died, but, I was had to wonder, like, did he also start drinking after being on the show again? It was kind of like, I mean, I don't recall encouraging him to drink again. I don't recall that being a thing, but, you know, I haven't listened to those podcasts in a minute, but, it was, I don't know, it was weird. It was just so strange. So out of the, like, cause that when he did that last show that he had recorded with, it was like maybe a week before he died. I mean, it was like, it was weird. It was almost like talking to a ghost because, I mean, he died so soon after that. And very, very strange. The weirdest thing, I guess, that's happened in the course of this show. So not only did, you know, we lose a friend of the show and, like, guest, but also our biggest fan. I mean, he listened to the show all the time, which was funny because he would listen to it all the time. But it took him years to fucking remember what the fuck my name was. And I am the host of the show. He would come on. Of course, a lot of times he was pretty drunk. He would call me like Jason. I'm like, who the fuck is Jason? And call like, dude, like, what the fuck? So, like, I remember at first, Shelly was always busting his balls. Always on top of the Fiener. And I felt like, oh, you know, I don't want to completely break his balls all the time. And then he would continuously get my name wrong. And they're like, all right, buddy. All right. It's yeah. I mean, man, it just sucks not having Fiener around. Like the stories he would tell about going down that road and whatnot was just if you're not familiar, maybe just looked up going down that road. Just look up Fiener in the search bar on the slapboxpodcast.com website and go down that road a little bit. There was some classic times. I mean, he lied to us about having cancer and we thought he was going to die, which is, you know, crazy in itself that we really thought he was going to die like soon. And I guess he wasn't too far off being wrong. It just wasn't cancer that took him out. But he had told us, I think it was specifically brain cancer that he said he had, which he did not have. Just want to clarify. There was the time that Muffin Man and I drove out to Edwardsville, Illinois, and we wanted to give Fiener a day out since, you know, we were thinking, like, this dude's going to die in, like, several months. Turns out he would live a couple more years. But, hey, we're all only here temporary. We're all just visitors. So, you know, maybe it's good to celebrate everyone's life, right? Anyway, but we... We were kind of dicks about it. We went up there and we bought him a Heineken, which he always drank. Was it Natty Light, I think, was his poison of choice. And we got him Heineken, which he loved Heineken, but, you know, he couldn't afford that, as he would go to bars and steal tips to be able to pay for his own drinks. He would steal waitresses' tips off the tables and then take that money and buy drinks with it. What a character. there's like there was only one Fiener, man. There was only one Fiener. And yeah, there was some classic moments on the show with Fiener. but yeah, anyway, yeah, Muffin Man and I went up there to cheer him up, and of course we got him Heineken, we got him some cigarillos and some stuff. And then Muffin Man, we paid cash for like this stuff at the alcohol, the, I don't remember what the store was. One of those like dirt, it wasn't dirt cheap, but it was like, you know, some local liquor store. And then we took all the change and just tossed it in the back seat. And knowing that we knew that Fiener, when he would go places and he found change, he would just fucking nab the change. And he was so excited. Like, we took him to the movies and watched the original Doctor Strange. And we got him a couple of drinks there. We did kind of feel like dicks, if I remember, for doing this. But also, when Fiener got in the vehicle, he was so fucking excited that there was all this change. And we had quite a bit of change. And we just tossed all in the back seat. And he was so fucking excited, like a little kid, like in Christmas morning, that just got like that old video of the kid getting the Nintendo 64. That's probably like 30-something now. It was just losing their shit with the Nintendo 64. That was Fiener with the change. He was so fucking excited there was change. But the fun part is that there was a lot of pennies in there too, but he's like, that was below him. He's like, I'm not picking up pennies. It better be silver of some kind. It better at least be a fucking nickel. But yeah, that was, and of course, you know, I traveled the world many a times during the 13 years, six times I went to Europe. It's looking like, you know, I should be good for number seven here in, several months, in like 6 months. But if, you know, if this current administration, the dictatorship we live under, doesn't fuck things up too badly for us before that time, then I should be able to just go into Germany and have a good time. That being said, there's the UK and Germany are already putting travel alerts up to any of their citizens traveling to the United States, because they've already had, was there like one German couple that was deported from the U.S. because they decided to go to Mexico for like a part of a day or something like that while being in the U.S., which under normal circumstances is perfectly fine. The way our, because they, through a tourist, as long as you're a tourist in this country from Germany, you can be here for 3 months. As long as you're not going to work a job, you can be here for 3 months without getting a visa, and that's perfectly legal. That's how it fucking works, or that's how it used to work anyway. Not that, you know, it's beyond getting under my skin. I mean, it's just fucked up. It's just fucked up times. And, you know, if we, the U.S. does unfortunately actually attempt to take over Greenland or Canada or both, you know, that would probably mean that Europe in total, and I mean, obviously Canada, I would assume Mexico, all of the, anybody involved with NATO, they're not going to allow Americans probably to visit. That is a real possibility. Not to mention, you know, that is an act of war to, you know, if we send our military into Canada or Greenland. You know, that is a attack against NATO. And does that start World War III? That is not only because could I be fucked out of a trip to Germany, that could mean millions of people dead. That's let's hope not. But I feel pretty confident that shit won't get too out of hand before October. Or at least I'm really hoping for it. One last go. One more time around. I want one more time around to be able to visit Europe. I mean, hell, I'd love to live there. I'm kind of hoping that I get that I'm not allowed to come back, that I'm forced to seek asylum in Germany or anywhere in fucking Europe at this point, honestly. although that would be so horrible, you know, not to be able to come back for my friends and family, my cat. Although maybe I could arrange for my cat to be sent to me, but there's the monetary issues where I wouldn't have money to do anything. I'd have to find some way to get money and have a place to live. And I'm assuming I would lose the penthouse here. I mean, if I couldn't come back, I don't know how the fuck I'd be able to pay for this place. I'm sure I could have somebody kind of move in and do some shit for me, but as far as taking care of things, I mean, it's just doesn't look it just I figure I'll deal with that if and when it comes to that. That being said, I hope to have a great time in Germany. I am looking forward to that, and I'm a little sidetracked here. As I'm saying that I need to pay some shit on might have a late fee on my HOA. I thought for sure I mailed that last check off, though. I'll have to check into that, I guess. What I was going to get into, but I mean, it's been 13 years, and also it was my birthday, of course. For my birthday present from Shelley, him and Nabina had taken me out to the Blues game last Sunday, which currently, as I'm recording this, they had just beat the Chicago Blackhawks, and I believe have a 3-point lead in the last wild card spot. So if the playoffs started today, the Blues would be in it. They have that last wild card spot currently. I mean, it is a neck and neck between St. Louis Blues, the Vancouver Canucks, and the Calgary Flames. And there's still, I don't know, like 12 or 13 games left. So, I mean, It's so close. It's going to come down to the wire. It'll probably come down to the last week. That being said, holy shit, Sunday's game was fantastic. Of course, they were playing the Anaheim Ducks. There was Shelley had gotten tickets, had gotten secured a deal, which they go to quite a few games, so they know the tricks to finding like good deals, and they'll often wait till the day of. Enterprise Rinkside Club, I believe, is the seats that they. Yeah, that's it, Rinkside Club. At the Enterprise Center, we had seats down there. They got that, and there was a buffet set up. Of course, they had corned beef on the buffet. Nice buffet. I mean, you could go down there. It wasn't, of course, next to the seats. You had to go near like the front exit or entrance, and you'd walk downstairs, and they had a full bar and buffet. And the best part about the Rinkside Club is they have their own bathrooms. This makes those seats worth their weight in gold. I mean, you go to the bathroom and there is no fucking wait. That was like the best and greatest part of it. And you can eat as much food as you wanted and whatnot. And holy shit, that was an experience. We were one seat back from the glass. Like, there was basically, we were in row two, which actually I think it's row B. I think they have them lettered. But we only had one row of seats in front of us before the glass. I mean, it was, and before that, you know, the best seats I had was when I went and saw Cujo's induction into the Hall of Fame, and I was like eight seats back behind the bench. And that was pretty cool. I mean, sitting right up against the glass, and for the last several minutes of the third period, there were some people that left on that first row, and Shelly and I jumped up to the front row, and we got to beat on the glass. And it was pretty epic, just being that close. I mean, everything is so much louder when the pucks hit and everything. You got to also watch out. We didn't have any pucks come our way, but you got to watch out in case one flies over the glass that you might get hit. unfortunately, we didn't catch any pucks. There was a guy behind us that was yelling at one specific Ducks player every time that he would go to our side of the glass, basically. Terry is his last name. And he had it out for Terry. He was like, "Go home, Terry! Go home, Terry! Nobody likes you, Terry." He wasn't yelling at any other player. It was just so funny how furious he was at Terry. And he got other people in the crowd next to us that were just like, thought it was hilarious. So they were like, "Fuck you, Terry." Everybody's going after Terry. And I think, from what I understand, Terry's a really good player. But this guy really, it was just so funny. What, you know, it'd be different. It wouldn't be so funny if he was just doing it to all the Ducks players. But he was singling out just Terry. He wanted Terry to go home, Terry. Nobody likes you, Terry. There was this group of kids in front of us that were probably like 12, maybe 13. They were older kids. They possibly teenagers, but I'm gonna guess they were a little bit younger than teenagers. But they were sitting front row, and they had put their soda on the glass right in front of them, which seems like a rookie mistake to me. But of course, one of the Ducks players hit the glass right in front of him. Their soda fucking went all over him. And those kids were pissed. They started beating on the glass. And whenever that player would come by, like, "Fuck you," they're yelling, "Fuck you," and all this shit. They were causing enough disturbance that one of the Blues staff actually came down, the Enterprise Center staff at least, came down and, like, talked to them. Like, gave them some kind of warning, I guess. And, but I mean, every time they were doing a face-off, like, over on our side, like, they were fucking hammering on that glass after that, like, "Fuck you, fuck you." Like, "I'm coming for you." I'm sure this fucking, you know, 20, 30-something hockey player that big motherfucker that will bowl you over, like, does not give a shit about violence, will take your ass on, is really afraid of this child on the other side of the glass. I'm sure he's quite willing to just toss his gloves down and just make some shit happen. Anyway, yeah, it was a fun time though, and the food was good. I of course had corned beef. I didn't get too crazy with the food, but I made sure to eat enough to like justify. I mean, they spent some money on those tickets, even though they had a deal. But those seats are pretty awesome. And it looks like, I mean, the Blues are, man, this high probability of hitting the playoffs now, as they've already started selling playoff tickets. I probably won't go to a playoff game. I know Shelly Nabeen have talked about it. He messaged me, asked me if I was interested, but I'm like, man, probably only if it's, you know, a fucking weekend. Weekday game is going to be tough. It's going to be tough, but man, it'll be, I'm sure it'd be just fucking electric in there. Just electric. And, yeah, I also got several pucks that night. I got two St. Paddy's Day ones from the St. Louis Authentic store in there. One that was like a center ice St. Patrick's one, and another one that was had the Ducks logo on it as well, and it said, you know, the date of the game versus the Anaheim Ducks. And, of course, I mean, the Blues won large that night. They won 7-2. The towel guy ran out of towels. He keeps seven on him, but that last one's on a string, so it comes back to him. But the last puck, actually, they do. I don't know if they do this every game, but the game that, of course, we were there last Sunday had the signed mystery pucks, and wasn't planning on doing it, but I saw Nabeena had looked it up and saw what the puck looked like, and it had the plaid, green plaid, and a shamrock on it, as well as the Blues logo. I was like, God damn it, I gotta get it. And it was the $40 for it, for the mystery puck. But you know, those proceeds are supposed to go to charity. I think it was Children's Hospital of some sort, if I'm not mistaken. So I mean, if like $40 going to a charity, I'm like, hey, you know, let's fucking do this. Let's go get some pucks. So Nabeen and I went and got some pucks, and they had some, you know, the ones that you buy are wrapped in foils, so you don't know what whose puck it is. And I don't know that every player signs a puck. I feel like they just do it to, like, who's free? Hey, you want to go sign a few pucks? They had some examples sitting to the side so you could see, like, whose signature looked like what. And it wasn't the whole team that was examples. It was kind of like, hey, how about I just pay you this money and I just take one of these? But Nabeena and I both got the same puck. We both got Philip Broberg, which at first, because I, you know, I don't know any of the Blues signatures just by looking at them, but of course they do sign their numbers on there as well. I saw the PB. I could make out the PB. So my initial thought was Pavel Buchnevich. Booch! I was like, woo, yeah, Booch! Buchnevich! And it wasn't Booch. I was saddened by that. It was not. It was both Philip Broberg, which is number 6, and Buchnevich is, I'm pretty sure, is number 86. Or no, I think he might be 89. Fuck, I don't know. Either way, I saw the PB and I thought it was Pavel Buchnevich, which is you know, points wise, I do believe, you know, I mean, he's a guy that's been around a little bit longer too. I'm trying to remember, was it Broberg? Yeah, Philip Broberg is who we got. Philip Broberg, he's a younger guy. just hasn't been around as long, you know? So I was wondering, like, did they just have Broberg? Just, like, was he not busy one day? Or is it just that he's so young and so new to the team? Just like, oh, all right, I'll sign some pucks. Where the more star players are like, yeah, I'm not doing that. Go fuck yourself. Maybe sign one puck. It's just funny that, like, we both got the same puck. I was like, how many? I mean, I realized they probably signed a lot of pucks, you know. I assume that they sell quite a few of those. So, anyway, as Agent Fox Mulder is chiming in over here. I'm waiting for him to bite me. He's kind of eyeing me up. He's down by the leg. I'm a little paranoid. I'm just a paranoid guy in general today because, when I was driving around earlier, I should mention today I also got, I got a couple of things. I ordered off Amazon some, poker chips because the guys from work, we've been talking about doing a poker night. So I ordered a case with poker chips and cards and whatnot, so we can do that. And then I also went to the used video game store over in Union, Game Over by the Union Movie Theater, and I was curious if they would do HDMI mods to 64s. They said no. That is technically illegal to do that. That being doing the HDMI mod internally. But, oh, shit. Swallowed some saliva down the old esophagus. Not the wisest thing. Oh, yeah, they said that's technically illegal. But they won't do it. But I do believe on Etsy you can just order them like that already. Which, look that up. N64 HDMI. Ooh, HDMI RGB mod. I mean, I could just order one with that instead of just paying somebody to mod my shit. But I'm pretty sure you can just buy them with the mod on there. Yeah, that one's. Yeah, some. There's definitely a lot of people that mod this shit out. Some of them are really expensive. There's some nice 64s on here, though. They do some pretty cool shit to them. But I don't know. I don't know. Like, who's going to come after you for that? That's what I want to know. Like, who's really going to do that? I know Nintendo is very litigious. I feel like, man, they probably do some soldering. I know they will repair a lot of video game systems. But Nintendo 64 is pretty fucking old. I thought there was a good chance they might do it. But I was wrong. That being said, though, yeah, I did, while I was there, I got, which I'd been looking for a while, I'd been thought about doing it, getting a used Nintendo Switch, which they had one for, it was in there for all of a week, and the full-sized one, and I got it for $200. Which is a pretty good deal. It's pretty crazy how they are still fucking expensive. But anyway, it is, I got that and it's downloading games right now. It looks like it already had Mario Kart on there, which I thought would be cool to have people over and, rock some, Mario Kart. And, I also, did the there was Mortal Kombat 11 was on sale for like $10, and there was on for $10 I could get Final Fantasy 8, which is one of my favorites. I mean, it's not 7, but it's pretty classic. I was like, oh, well, let's put this on there. Shit, I probably wouldn't have bought the Mortal Kombat 11 though had I realized just how big of a game it is, like 44 gigs, and there's just not that big of a memory inside the Switch there. So I'm already just can't I can't really put much on there because it's already just fucking jacked. But there's just some classic. I mean, there's a lot of cool systems. If you want to buy older systems, they've got a lot of cool fucking mods. There's some pretty sweet GameCube mods and stuff where they have the HDMI modded out, which GameCube is one of my favorite in Nintendo systems. As far as Nintendo systems goes, there's some fucking amazing ones. It's hard for me to say what my favorite would be. I mean, it might be the Nintendo 64. I mean, just because the games on it were fucking amazing. But the GameCube's pretty up there, too. I mean, that's some classic shit. But, you know, and I'm a big PlayStation guy. I've watched, or I've played a lot of PlayStation. Owned every PlayStation main console there is. And I have, you know, I love me some PlayStation. But at the end of the day, there's a certain love for those Nintendo ones that just can't be beat. Though I was a Sega Genesis guy back when it was the Super Nintendo versus the Sega. I was very adamant, fuck Nintendo, because I wanted the adult-like stuff, mainly because, you know, I liked playing Mortal Kombat. You can put in the blood code on the Sega Genesis. It was for, like, adults, even though I was an adult at the time. But it was definitely, you know, the Nintendo stuff was more kiddish, and I was edgy. I was the Lenny Bruce of video gamers of my age. I wanted to say awful, bad stuff in games and whatnot, and which that is pretty much all games now. Except, I mean, Nintendo's still very family friendly, but goddamn, Nintendo's got so good proprietary stuff. But I can't speak tonight. But like your Zelda games, which is what I'm really looking forward to playing. I haven't gotten it yet, but I don't want to do Breath of the Wild. Definitely enjoyed that. I mean, that's some of the best shit on like the 64. Is I mean, super classic stuff. The Ocarina of Time. I was blanking. I was gonna say Majora's Mask, but I never actually played Majora's Mask, honestly. But one of my favorite all time games is Ocarina of Time. That game was fucking awesome. And of course, I played that on the 64. I still have my Ocarina of Time. I mean, just the mini games, that game was just the music. Such good stuff. And then, I mean, the GameCube had so many great titles just for the GameCube. I mean, there was the Metroid Prime. It was a fucking great one. I mean, there's just a lot of stuff that was on there. There was the Resident Evil games that they had for the Nintendo GameCube that you couldn't get anywhere else. I think you might be able to play Zero now, like on PlayStation. But originally, like, Resident Evil Zero came out solely for the GameCube. And they had a reboot of Resident Evil 1 that was really good that I never actually... I beat the original Resident Evil 1, which was a hard game to beat. But I used... I had a strategy guide. But that being said, they had the... Resident Evil 1 that they added more stuff to, and it was like enhanced graphics with it on there, whatever. I can't speak properly. That was definitely... And they added a lot to it. And like, I played a good chunk of it, but there was a lot added to it. There was definitely a lot added to it, and it's definitely worth a playthrough. You can get it on the Switch, which I'm thinking about getting the, there's a, you can get on like Amazon, which I'm sure you can get other places, but they have, they have the mods, for the controllers to, it's a GameCube controller that you can use for the Switch, which I'd like to have that just for playing the old games, put the old games on there and, play it via that. Although looking at these old systems, I'm like, man, I just want to play the old systems. Of course, the Switch is pretty cool. And being able to just whip out and do the... I doubt I'm going to be playing it handheld very much. That being said, though, I mean, it's... I've never owned a Switch before. I had a Wii. I could really give a shit less about the Wii. But there's definitely... there's just so many good Nintendo systems out there that are just... outright fantastic. As there's some cool mods to these 64s that I'm reading about actually here. but yeah. Anyway, I look forward to playing some Switch as I am so burnt out on Call of Duty. That game is just is so bad now, so bugged out. They seem to just want to fucking fire all their employees over there at Activision and just use AI to do more and more shit. And they seem to cater to hackers. It's the game is for hackers. I'm getting an invite to board game night, but honestly, I don't feel like leaving home tonight. But I just don't really feel like leaving. I'm enjoying being at home right now and just you know, sitting here. We'll play my Switch later, get that all set up. As, yeah, sometimes I just feel like being lazy. I did do board games over at, Jackman's on Monday, on the birthday. As, had some good times over there. Though it did suck. I was up there kind of late. I'm an old man. I did it to work the next morning. Oh, my corned beef and cabbage that I made on Monday turned out really well. That turned out really good. I had gotten, brisket from Schnucks this time around, and the seasoning packet they had in there was really killer. And I mean, it's just so good, so good. Although I had the shits afterwards from probably from eating so much cabbage, that fucked me up for a few days. But damn, it was that. Oh, the corned beef was so damn good. Yeah. Corned beef and cabbage. That's good stuff. That's definitely good shit. Cooked in, of course, Guinness, which I finished off my last Guinness. I bought a six-pack of it last Sunday, and then I killed the last one last night. And so I have no more Guinness. No more Guinness. But it was so tasty just cooking that in Guinness. As now I'm kind of saddened I don't have that yet again for tomorrow or for, you know, I'm not cooking it again any day soon. Although next week I do have a 4-day weekend next weekend, which, I knew what I was going to get into when I was talking about going to Union. I totally missed over the fun part of that story. On the way back, I was with my friend John from work, and he while I was still in Union, I guess we were leaving. We were over by East Central College, turning back onto, what is it, 50 there, the highway, and my car started making some loud clunking noises, like something wasn't right. I knew the brakes should be fine. I had worked on it about a year ago, on the brakes, and it was right around this time last year. that I'd gotten worked on it. And I looked at, or I was wondering, like, shit, is a ball bearing? Like, what is there, whatever. I was afraid something was going on with the wheels or something. Something was off. Because it happened when I was turning. And or maybe something was happening with my clutch, because I know I have a little issues with the clutch. I was really nervous driving. Ended up turning off the radio. And we ended up going to Ernesto's, the Mexican restaurant here in town, in Washington. But we had to make it all the way to Washington before... And I was nervous driving the car. It wasn't constantly making that sound, but it would make sounds like when I would slow down and stuff, or like turn. And so, getting pretty nervous. John had said he could start to feel it though, hitting like below his feet. And, which was really weird. It was to the right side of him even. So on the outside, I'm like, what the fuck could he actually be feeling under the floorboards? And, like, I don't think it would be the transmission on that side of the car. You'd think it would be in the fucking middle. Unless something, like, broke free. I was just like, you know, I was pretty nervous, getting pretty nervous. So, like, are we even going to be able to make it back? Am I going to have to get this car towed? Is the wheel going to come flying off? Like, these are the things that were like, And we finally made it to Ernesto's in Washington. And we get back to Ernesto's. And John looked under the car there on that side. And it turns out there was a screwdriver in my car. Like underneath the car, there's like this plastic part. It gotten up inside and it was just... fucking rolling around inside there whenever I would make the turns. And was not a screwdriver, not one of mine. I don't know where the fuck this screwdriver came from. Must have been driving one day and it bounced up and flew inside there. I guess. And then got stuck in there, and then it's just bouncing around in there. And but I was getting a little paranoid when we were eating. I was like, that seems so odd that would just fly up inside my car. Like, is it possible that when I was parked at the Blues game, is it possible somebody tried to, like, you know, I don't know, steal my catalytic converter or something, or take something off my car and then just left the fucking screwdriver in there, or got it, you know, maybe they accidentally shoved it in an area and like, oh, God damn it. And then got the screwdriver stuck. Like, cause there's not much clearance for you to like, climb under the car and do anything with. So like, it's not a good car to like say steal the catalytic converter off unless you're gonna like jack the thing up, because I mean, it sits so low to the ground, you're not gonna be able to get a sawzall under there to just like cut that off like they do with many other vehicles. But you never know. I mean, I was like, I did have it parked in St. Louis for several hours. The lot I parked it in didn't have any security guards. There was an attendant. I don't know. Maybe they watch for those sort of things and like, get lost, buddy. I don't know. But there's not really security, so to speak. The attendant's just there to make sure you pay for the parking. Which, fun fact, maybe I don't even want to mention this, but I do the ParkWiz through the app, and I pay through there. And they give you a little QR code to show that you paid for your parking. And honestly, I might have gotten that scanned like once. I've parked now using that app several times, a good handful of times now. And I got to say that they might have scanned that parking pass like once or twice of the many times that I've been there. They just glance that it's on my phone, like, here you go. I mean, I could just take a screenshot of any day. It's not like they read the dates, you know, but I guess you don't want to get caught not paying. But I'm not encouraging that. Not encouraging that, you know, pay for parking, people. This is just something I happened to notice when I was there. I was like, you know what? I probably could have gotten by without even paying. And I just have a screenshot of my old parking pass. But I'm not the type of person to do that. I would like to mention that. I am not that guy. Not that guy. I don't dine and dash, and I pay for my parking. But that being said, yeah, I was a little paranoid about, I'm still kind of a little paranoid about the whole screwdriver thing. So like, what the fuck? Why is, why did this occur? I don't understand. It's a little off-putting, shall we say. As, I don't really know what happened with it. It's, a little perplexing. I mean, John was of the opinion that it just, I probably ran over it in the street somewhere. I mean, my neighbor just moved out to the right, next to me. You know, they had a bunch of stuff that they were, maybe they had dropped a screwdriver or something, and I just drove over it and it flew up inside there. I don't know. It's very strange. But, you know, I guess we'll see. I mean, I guess I won't see. I mean, what am I saying? We'll see. There's no way for me to find out how it got there. I can't do any DNA testing or nothing. Unless somebody has surveillance footage in front of their house or something, but then I'd have to know exactly what day. And if they still had that footage, I will never know. I will never know. Yeah, I am, I was a little paranoid. Next week, on the time off, I do plan on changing the oil in the car, getting it washed, getting it cleaned. I will, you know, when I got it on the ramps, I'll check it out a little bit more, see if there's anything else looks fucked up. I thought about, you know what, because my first thought when there could be something majorly wrong with the vehicle, which I'm like, oh, fuck me. I do not want another fucking car payment. Especially right now, car prices are going through the fucking roof. I figured even if I had to replace a transmission or something, it was probably going to be way cheaper than me fucking getting a new vehicle. Just like, fuck all that. But anyway, yeah. I was considering, I figured when I thought that there was a very strong chance that there was something fucked up with it, my thought was, you know, let's get home, let's try to drive it, almost not at all, and then when my day's off, on one of those days, probably preferably that Thursday, to drive up to the Mini dealership up in Maplewood, which would be one nerve-wracking drive if there was something like majorly wrong with my vehicle. But to drive it up there, unfortunately, that's the closest dealership. Because I knew that if it was something major, that would be like really the only place I would work on my car. That being said, I guess I'm not going to do that. I guess I'll just change the oil and just look under to make sure nothing else was... I don't think that screwdriver really fucked anything up bouncing around in there, but you never know. But it appears that the car's still fine. It doesn't need that oil change. Again, I'd take care of that next weekend. But we'll see what... I really need that car to last several more years. And that did get me really nervous. I'm like, why couldn't that have happened before I said I was going to go to Germany. Like, God damn it. That's what just life does to you, you know? It just shits all over you sometimes. Like, I just bought a fucking used Switch, spent like $200 on a Switch, and then I'm like, oh no, my car. Are you fucking kidding me? Like, damn it. That was the sinkingness of like, oh no. Like, if it's a transmission... Like, we're talking probably easily a couple of grand, you know? Like, But again, nowadays, that's going to be way cheaper than getting a new vehicle. And, but I still considered, well, maybe I should just go ahead and take it to the dealership. I'll pay more to have them, like, change the oil and just check everything out, make sure that there's nothing fucked up under there. But now that I've driven around a little bit, it doesn't seem like there's any issues. Like, I feel like it's safe for me to just, you know, once I'm changing the oil and everything while I'm down there, just make sure that everything looks like it's on the up and up down there. And then we'll see how it goes, you know? As far as I know, there's nothing really wrong. I mean, the clutch sticks a little bit when you're trying to, or I have issues with the shifter trying to get into like first. And of course, sometimes, I guess only when it gets real hot, I guess it seems more of the problem, but there's the, I forgot what the part is, but it involves when you push in the clutch there, was it the master or the slave cylinder? There's one of the cylinders that squeaks when you push in the clutch. And, I mean, it works, but it's fucking annoying that it squeaks. Apparently it's because of this plastic part in there, which I could spend more money. I believe there's a higher grade one that was put out eventually that you can put in there that will eventually not have that problem or won't have that problem at all. I could buy a new one that's still got that shitty part in there that will eventually squeak on your ass. But apparently that model in Mini is pretty normal for that to happen, unfortunately, looking on the forums for it. But yeah, once I like, speaking of big expenditures, I'm hoping within the next week to get, go ahead and get a quote done on the roof and finally get that fucker taken care of. The storms have made me real nervous lately as, I did have some more leaking in the roof whenever that, all that snow, that last bit of snow we had like melted, or the last big thing of snow we had. It did fucking leak. I need to get that fixed. And that'll, after that, I'll have an idea of like how much money I have left over for my home equity loan and decide, how much of that I want to just pay back into the loan. It's nice having that little cushion in the bank account.
Oh shit.
I should have paused the recording, but I wasn't anywhere near the button as the sneeze. I apologize. I guess I could edit that out later, but yeah, I'm too lazy. Anyway, yeah, I'm not exactly sure how much they're gonna charge the roof. It's not a very big roof at all, although I'm pretty sure that there's parts that are probably rotted out, the wood underneath. I mean, the roof's over 20 years old, and there's like two spots that I know that are at leaks. And I'm pretty sure there's some rotted wood and what have you. I don't think it's going to cost a whole lot, but I don't know. I really don't know. Again, it's a very small roof. It should hopefully not cost too much. With that being said, I am seriously thinking about making like a real nice like home theater setup in the downstairs. I mean, I got the sofa already for it. I am thinking about upgrading the TV. I think I mentioned that before, perhaps. But I was looking into putting in a short throw projector, which, looking into it, those are awesome. Those are awesome. They have really high fucking quality ones. And you can have an image up to 125 inches or something, or 120 inches. And, I mean, it looks just, I mean, it's like you're in the fucking movie theater. And then putting some real nice speakers in, you know. But that gets really expensive. If you want the, let's see here. If you want, no. I'm trying to look it up now. Short throw projector. The screens for them alone, which, again, this, I mean, you can buy, there's cheaper short throw projectors, but I mean, if I'm going to set up a home theater, man, I'm going to want some top of the line shit. I'm not going to go cheap on stuff. But you're looking for, if you want top of the line stuff, you're going to spend a couple of grand on the projector. If you want the highest quality stuff. It might be cool to have just some of the smaller projectors, the cheaper ones. Just if I, you know, I don't know what I can use it for. But there's the ultra short throw projectors. That's the one you want. Those things are pretty fucking awesome. The UST, whatever the fuck, I don't know. They're fucking awesome. But even the screen alone, though, you get these screens. Now, some of them are cheaper. But again, if you want the really high quality stuff, you're going to pay out the ass for it. You're going to pay, if you want the really nice ones, you're going to pay over $1,000 just for the screen for it. Then there's the, if you want, and if you want it to come out of a bit, I mean, it can get real fucking pricey for that stuff. I'd be, my biggest concern about that screen is the cat does enjoy Mr. Fox here, even though he's missing one leg up front. He does like to bat at stuff that's on the TV. He likes to go over there and like paw at it. And I'm afraid that that a screen like that, he would really go after. I mean, I am seeing like some cheaper screens now I'm kind of looking at it, but I mean, some of these things are really fucking expensive. But you can get it, looks up to 120, or whoa, here's a 150 inch projector. I mean, these, some of these get fucking just crazy, crazy big. But yeah, I mean, they get really pricey. But there, if you want to get like a really large screen, just television, you can get up to 100 inches now. And there's, I'm thinking I'd end up going that route. Though I just love the idea of a projector, because I just love the idea of just being in a movie theater, you know, and having a fucking projector. Like old school kind of feel. But it would be pretty fucking sweet to have like a massive fucking screen down there. Be it 100 inches or 120, 150, whatever it is. I would love to do that, though. I would have to, I think, imagine get some blackout curtains for the downstairs to really help out with that. I'd probably want to, looking into some slat wall or something like they call it. I've seen people using videos where they cover around the TV where it just basically darkens the whole room. Just make it look like a home theater, you know? Get the nice speakers going on. Oh, just sounds so exciting. I mean, I love movies. I love watching movies and having, I love, you know, going to the movie theater. I don't rarely ever go to the movie theater now. It's once every couple of months at best at this point. But if I didn't have to go to the fucking movie theater, I'm just like, you know what? I want to have a fucking scary movie night or something. And I'm just going to be like, bam, let's watch it in this home fucking theater, yo. And it would be totally fucking epic. I'm basically make it to where I never have to leave home. And then, of course, I'm going to be even more upset if I'm not allowed back into the country if I've got all this shit in my house. Though mainly, to be honest, it's the cat. The cat, I'm going to be real upset about. I mean, the guitars are going to be a close second. But the cat, oh man, at least with the people, you know, my friends and whatnot, though I may not be able to go see them, I can at least stay in touch with them. As long as I'm able to afford a phone somehow, I can stay in touch with them. The cat, I mean, it's not like, I mean, I'm sure my friend Megan would make sure he's taken care of for me if it came to that. But it's not like I can take a phone up and like, hey, buddy, how's it going? I don't want to fuck with his brain too much, you know? But that would be the, oh, damn. Where's my three-legged sidekick? And also, I don't know that I'd be able to podcast anymore. This would be like gone. Gonzo's. If I do get kicked out of the country, basically, you know, if I'm not allowed back in America, even though I'm an American citizen, that's, you know, shouldn't be the case. But only time will tell with that. I've said a lot of bad shit about Trump in the past, and there's recorded audio on the internet about that. I am not hiding that whatsoever. So, you know, it's potential. There is the potential there that something could happen. I mean, it seems, I imagine I won't get deported, or not, like, I mean, not really deported, because I will already be out of the country. I would think, though, I would be able to get back into the country, but I'm hoping that it's the case. Though, you know, I do enjoy a good adventure. I do enjoy a good adventure. Like earlier with the car incident to my friend John, I was like, well, you know, today could get a lot more interesting. The fucking wheel comes flying off. We're going to have a hell of a day. You know, I think that's a better way to look at it than just, you know, give me completely scared off your, you know, in your wits. Like, I figure I can maybe steer the car, like, just as long as I really felt that the car wasn't driving right, you know, if it was, like, fucking just couldn't keep it steering right and it felt weird, I would have pulled over, you know. But it just made that sound, and it was driving fine. But I was like, that was, the sound was loud, and I was like, which I guess we should have just pulled over anyway. I mean, it was a loud sound. Should have just pulled over, checked it, and then we would have hopefully have found the screwdriver then too. But it seems to be fine. It seems to be fine, though I'm still a little nervous over the whole thing. We'll see what happens. But yeah, that's really all I've got for the show tonight. Another 13 years in the bag. We've done 13 years. That's a lot of years to be doing this. As I am, I don't know when this is gonna end. There was some times like after I moved in here, I'm like, should I really keep doing this? And I honestly have thought about stopping, and I thought about stopping it after 10 years, and then like I was like, 10 years is a good run. It's not like I'm making money doing this. it's just what I do. And I don't, like a year ago I probably would have said like, yeah, I don't think I'm gonna be doing this much longer, but now I'm like, I don't know, I just keep doing it. I don't I'm not seeing any time soon I will be stopping that. So the future will tell. But I'm starting to feel though that, you know, maybe I'll get back to a point where I do have people back on, because I'm making it more of a place to hang out here with my upgrades to the penthouse. And so, you know, might eventually actually go back to having guests. We'll see. Only time will tell. Or I'll decide next week, fuck this, I'm done. That seems unlikely, though. That seems unlikely. Maybe the last episode will be me when I leave for Germany, and then I'm never allowed back into the country. I imagine I could probably find some way to do some shitty recording with my phone. But then again, like, how long am I going to be able to keep my phone if I don't have an income coming in? There's a lot of ifs. But I guess that's just life. I mean, I could get hit by a fucking meteor just dropping from the sky, and just that'll be the end of it, of me and everything else. Or, you know, there's just so many options and so many things that could happen in one's life. But we've had 13 years of this, and there's been some interesting times, some interesting fun times. But this is really, I guess... we're really good here. I'm going to go see about playing some Mario Kart, because I think it's downloaded on my Switch. And I guess it came with the system. They didn't delete like the previous people's stuff on there, which is odd. I thought most video game stores went through the systems and did like factory resets, but I guess not. Or maybe they just forgot to do it on this one. They said they only had it a week. But anyway, as always, that is Kid in Wheelchair, not a trash can.